to your way, I'll say yes. Oh, yes, 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 Lord.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for he is good. Yes, he is good.
As a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Yes, he is.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Praise the Lord and welcome to another hour of declaring the finished work. This is the day that the Lord has made and we rejoice and are glad in it. Amen. This is your host, Pat Randall. And before I get started, I want to open up with just a few scriptures and a word that I want to share to continue to encourage you during this time of the COVID-19 epidemic, or I should say pandemic, because the world is going through this together. First, let's go to, let me say this first before I read the scripture. You know, you hear these talks about a treatment. We hear talks about how we're going to treat this COVID-19. We hear talks about vaccine. That's the word I'm looking for. So we hear talks about the discovery of a vaccine in the process, and they are now doing testing. We hear talks about how effective is wearing a mask, what type of mask, the social distancing, how effective is it really? And there are all kinds of arguments on both sides and just all kinds of opinions, all kinds of medical opinions, all of this. But what I want to encourage you in is that the Word of God is something that stands forever. And only truth and wisdom comes from God. Anything else is man's wisdom and man's truth, which we know can vary depending on what they've discovered or what they believe. I'm going to read Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 22, and this is out of the King James Bible. It says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Let me read that last sentence again. "Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." That's your prescription for surviving this COVID-19. Incline your ears to God's sayings. Keep it in front of your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. That's where you're going to find your life. That's where you're going to find health for your body. Let me read what 1 John says. And this is going to be out of the Amplified. 1 John 5:9. It says, "If we accept, as we do, the testimony of men, that is, if we are willing to take the sworn statements of fallible humans as evidence, the testimony of God is greater, far more authoritative." Amen. Glory to God. And this replay that I'm doing is a message that I delivered in 2017, and it's several parts, but today I'm going to replay part two. And the title of this series is Resting in Our Helplessness. Now, I know that a lot of you are actually feeling helpless in this time, because there are so many things that right now you are not able to control. And the frustration comes because we think and believe that we can control our lives, that we can control our circumstances in this broken world, mind you. In this broken world, with all the things that are going on here, even before the COVID-19 pandemic. Okay. So, what I have come to really understand in my heart since I did this message, Resting in Our Helplessness, is that there's Jesus, and then there's us. His life leveled the playing field for all of us, because he did what no one else could do. And he did it on the cross over 2,000 years ago. So now, what we are to do is to walk in what he has done, and we do that walk by faith in him. Faith in him, the overcomer. The other thing is that, especially in our spiritual life, we think that because we've prayed long periods of time and we fasted, and I cover this also in this message, that is why we are greater than someone else. And think about this, even the disciples argued about who was the greatest among them. And it was all based on the works that they had done when Jesus sent them out, the miracles and the whole thing. And so then they started to feel that, or believe that, this was coming from them. When it was the anointing that was placed on them by the Lord Jesus Christ, that they were able, they were walking in his anointing, in his authority, and in his power. But they began to associate it with themselves as if they were the source. So what I'm saying to you today is that we are all the same. You can have as much Jesus in your life as you desire. As much as you desire. There is no one here that is, no other man that is greater than you than Jesus Christ. Anything that you see man doing in the body of Christ, he is doing it through the power of God. This power is, it's his connection. So the more we abide, stay connected, the more the life of Christ flows through us. And what I also have grown to understand, because, and the scripture says it, but you can so quickly forget what you've read if you don't revisit it and spend time with it and meditate on it, is that the good works that are done by us are only good if we are doing what God has predestined for us to do. He's planned ahead. Ephesians 2:10 says it like this: "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God," not man, "which God predestined." There are good works predestined for your life that God has planned for your life and for you to walk in it. And our faith has to be in him and in him alone, not in man. We exalt man, we worship man, we run behind him and follow after him, trying to get something from him, because we haven't matured to the point that we can get everything that we need through the Holy Spirit. This is where we're headed. We haven't arrived yet, but this is where we're headed. To the place where there will be no need for one man to teach another man. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. And I am going to stop right there because I need to not go into a full teaching, because I really want you to be encouraged by this message, resting in our helplessness. We want to rest and know that it's okay, because God is made strong in our weakness, which is really interesting. He's not made strong in our strengths, but he is made strong and powerful in our lives through our weaknesses. Amen. Glory to God. So be blessed by this message, resting in our helplessness. Praise God. Father, we thank you for every word that proceeds out of your mouth. We know that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. We thank you, Lord God, that you are continuously speaking to us. That it is your desire that we would know what you know. That you would love us so much and care so much about our destiny, that you would send your son, knowing that he would go through a brutal death to secure man's destiny. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father. We glorify your name. We thank you for this message today. We thank you that we will continue to grow in the knowledge and the wisdom from heaven, as we continue to be shaped and molded by your hand. We humbly submit ourselves under your mighty hand. Do what is needed to help us to grow, to help us to move into a place that we know without a doubt that you love us, and that it is an everlasting love, and that it is a perfect love. And we thank you for this, and we thank you for your anointing on this word that will go forth today in the broadcast, that it will go forth and accomplish this perfect purpose that you have for it. It surely will not return to you void. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your loving kindness. And it's in Christ Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Well, we are continuing on our journey in the message titled Resting in Your Helplessness. This is part two. So this second part actually has a subtitle, and that subtitle is Self-Confident or God-Confident. Self-Confident or God-Confident. This is part two of Resting in Your Helplessness. And as I said last week, it is a strange thing for us to rest in the midst of a helpless situation, or when we're feeling helpless, to find rest in that. It contradicts the ideology of this world. In this world, we are told that we need to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, that we are the captain of our ship, that we are defined by what we accomplish, that it is a mark of success to say that you are a self-made man. We live in a climate where there's thousands of self-help books teaching you how to succeed, how to make money, how to be happy, how to enjoy life, just how to live. There's some self-help book give you a quickie study on how to have a fuller life. But this ideology, this type of thinking, being the captain of your own ship and pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, being a self-made man, all of this represents man acting independent of God. That independent spirit that entered when man succumbed to the deception of Satan. And this same plan is still in force by the enemy to perpetuate this lie in our lives that we can actually be fulfilled and successful independent of God. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. It says, this is God speaking, the Lord, he's speaking. He's saying to Paul in his time of weakness, amen, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Romans 5, 6 through, just verse 6, excuse me, Romans 5, verse 6, it says, for while we, man, us, while we were still weak, at the right time, that God appointed time, hallelujah, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for us. While we were still weak, we didn't achieve some place of strength, but mankind was in its weakness when Christ died. This word weakness, the Greek, in the Greek language, the definition of it encompasses the state of your soul, referencing a lack of strength or the capacity to understand a thing, an inability to do things that are great and glorious, your inability to restrain yourself from corrupt desires or be able to bear under trials or troubles. And in regard to your physical body, it means a physical weakness or frailty, decreasing in health or a sickness. And man was in this state. He, in his soul, there was this weakness. And even in his physical body that originally was not designed to die, suffered under this curse that caused it to decrease in health, at times to be weak and frail, or to be exposed to sickness, all because of the fall, man acting independent of God. We make decisions about our fate as if we can see into tomorrow. This is what James chapter 4 says. I'm going to read verses 13 and 14. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. That's that self-confident spirit. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And by next year, I'll have this. And I've got my five-year plan in 5 years. I'll have my master's in 5 years. I'll have this. I'll have that. I'll have my boat. I'll have my house. That's what we do. Yet we do not know what tomorrow will bring. But this is what the Lord says to us. Him loving us. Him being rich in his loving kindness towards us, merciful. Isaiah 48, 17, this is the heart of God speaking. He says, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. That there is no need for us to live in that place of self-confidence or independence. But we can be confident in God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has said to us that he will teach us to profit and lead us in the way that we should go. And this way that he is leading us is the way of our highest good. So when we begin to accept and recognize our helplessness, especially when we're in the midst of it, because we get desperate and we make all kinds of decisions because we don't want to stay in this place of helplessness because it's not comfortable for us. But once we learn to rest in God in that place of helplessness, when we begin to trust and to know that he is there, that he will keep us. He will keep us because he's faithful. This leads to freedom. Freedom from self-confidence into the awesome power of being God confident. With God, nothing is impossible. This journey that we're on it's a journey of faith. It's all about what we believe. For by grace we have been saved, not by works. No man can boast about it. Christ Jesus has done it by the way of the cross, through his death, burial, and resurrection. He has accomplished this place of rest, that we can walk by faith and not by sight, walking in a God confidence. What we believe will determine how we live, and what we believe comes out of our hearts. We are encouraged and admonished through the scriptures to grow in grace and knowledge. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Grow in the grace. This grace, this is something that is bestowed upon us. It's God's favor. It's his loving kindness. It's his mercy that is bestowed upon us. Not earned, not performed for. And this knowledge that we are being urged to grow in, this is a divine knowledge. It's a deeper and a more perfect knowledge. This is the knowledge that only comes from God. When we are operating independent of God in our self-confidence, we are relying on limited knowledge. We're relying on man's intellect, which is so vastly different from God's thinking, the mind of Christ. He says his thoughts as far as the heavens are from the earth. That's the difference, the space between, if you can even calculate that, the space between how we think and how he thinks. But he is giving us this wisdom and this knowledge. We can grow in this by resting in him. That place of abiding in him gives us access, because we're trusting, even in our place of weakness, in our place of helplessness. Philippians 1:9 says, "And it is my prayer that your love," and that love is agape love, God's love, "and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more the love of God abounding more and more in our lives with knowledge and all discernment. So this God's love abounding more and more with knowledge, this knowledge that comes from God, this divine intelligence and all discernment. And discernment is just judgment, perception, mental discernment. But of course, we're talking about the mind of God, the mind of Christ. Ephesians 1, starting in verse 16, says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, this is Paul speaking, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. Let me pause right here. It speaks of this spirit of wisdom back in Genesis when Jubal, the first musician, this God would send a spirit of wisdom, and he was the one who developed the musical instruments. This spirit of wisdom came upon men in the Old Testament that gave them the knowledge and the understanding and the know-how to become artists, to build statues and to construct buildings. It was God's spirit of wisdom and of revelation. Let me continue the scripture. May give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. It is really all about not, you know, we want to gain a lot of knowledge in about a lot of different things. But the knowledge that's going to really, really change our lives is the knowledge of him. The knowledge of our Father, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 18 goes on to say, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Our hearts have eyes, have the ability to see. Amen. And this enlightenment is, it means, give light, understanding, to illumine, to imbue, which is to infuse, to steep, to ingrain. So when we grow by the spirit of wisdom and of this revelation in the knowledge of our Father and our Lord, that there's this light that comes into our hearts, open so that we might see, so that we might see. It illumines and it actually infuses our very being. Hallelujah. The eyes of our hearts, that's the place of knowing, which is why we have to guard our hearts. We have to guard our hearts. And part of this great revelation, amen, is the great knowing that we are one with God. We are never, ever separated from him. Never separated from him. Never, never. We are one with God. He has placed us in Christ, and Christ is in him, even though we talk about the three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are inseparable. They are not like a family with siblings and a mother or father and the brothers and the sisters, you know, separate individuals. They are one. So when the Holy Spirit is present, the Father is present, the Son is present, because they are all one. But now we are one with him. Jesus has made that possible. That spirit of independence has been broken over our lives so that now we can see that we are not separated from him. And it's because of Jesus. It's because of this great work. He destroyed the body of sin on the cross. All sin is acting independently of God, acting according to your own thinking and your what you consider is moral. Because we can never achieve the purity and the holiness of God apart from him. He gives us this purity. He gives us this holiness. He is our righteousness. You know, being independently, spiritually, is difficult to recognize at times. Because in the church environment, we learn strategies for spiritual growth and natural growth and prosperity in our lives and our relationships, and it's about practical Christianity, and it's not that there's anything wrong with any of this. There's nothing wrong with praying. There's nothing wrong with fasting. I mean, but recognize that God doesn't need that. He doesn't need that. He's not really requiring that of you. But it is good for us in the sense that it's like, you know, you wash your face, you brush your teeth. It's to your advantage to clean your face and to brush your teeth. It's for you. And as a result of it, you know, we have all of this knowledge of the Word of God. You know, it's wonderful that we have these Bible-believing, Bible-teaching churches, but we grab hold of this knowledge and we try to run with it, and we don't realize that we're running with it because we're not really waiting on God, because we think we know. We think we know just because we've taken classes, we've been going to Bible studies, we think we know. And because we think we know, we can walk independently of God in things that are spiritual things. I recently went to see the movie The Shack, and I know people have varying opinions and things about this book that's been turned into a movie, but I love the way the central character Mac interacts with this woman who she's representing the father. Then there is the man that's representing Jesus, and then this Asian woman who's representing the Holy Spirit, and how they're interacting. But it gives us a visual of how God is interacting with us. He's these three persons, but they still move as one. Well, anyway, what I really want to talk about is the scene in the shack where, just prior to this scene, Mac and Jesus were walking on the water, and they were, in fact, they walked on it and they ran across this huge lake. And so now Mac has had this experience. And so he and Jesus are standing by the lake at the shore, and he looks out, Mac looks out at the water, and he steps into the water to walk on the water, and his feet goes under and the water begins to cover. And then he looks back at Jesus, and Jesus says to him, "We are meant to do it together." That's key. We are meant to live this life with God together, moving as one. We were meant to do it together. I thought this was just so powerful, because that independent spirit will follow us into the body of Christ, which is why I believe there it talks about the body. It uses the analogy of the physical body, arms and hands and feet, and how they need to work together, and one is no more important than the other. But when we come into the, when we maintain that independent spirit in the body of Christ, we are, the body is fragmented because we're not moving as one. So we want to get to this place where we know nothing and we're completely helpless. And so we look completely to the Lord to do whatever that needs to be done in us and through us. You know, I'm looking at our present day environment, what is going on here, the division that's going on in our nation and the culture of our nation. Because what we don't seem to recognize is we have bought into this this greatness, you know, America, the greatest. You know, we've been trendsetters in the world and a world leader, and we've forgotten that we didn't do this apart. This, anything that we achieve that is positive and lasting comes from God. God afforded us to step into that position, but in our arrogance and in this self-confident spirit that we bought into, it's all about the nation being great as opposed to God being great in our nation. That is what will make a nation great. God being great in that nation. Moving from self-confident to God-confident. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Last week, I had started sharing part of a testimony in a crucial part of my life. It was, I was 39 years old. I was still young in my faith, still growing in it and learning. And my husband suddenly took ill and things moved rather rapidly. But in terms of the degree that this illness had impacted his life, that it sent him into a coma and paralyzed him, and this is all within a matter of like within 30 days. He's gone from this vibrant man to this man laying up in the hospital, can't breathe for himself, and in a semi-coma state. And in this time, I was sharing that God gave me this scripture out of James, letting patience have its perfect work. And, you know, when we're in that place of feeling helpless, that's where we need the patience, to allow patience to have its perfect work, because we need to be mature children of God, lacking anything. And I shared that when I first was given this scripture, it was just overwhelming. I was like, what? Count it all joy when you're faced with various trials and temptations, and it's trying of your faith, and it's working patience, and let patience have her perfect work. I thought it was interesting that it's female, this word, and it refers to her patience is referred to as a her, but, you know, we won't get into that right now. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So here I am in this circumstance, in a time when things were going great in our marriage, and we are about to embark in our ministry part of our business. And so it was a good time for us. But then all of a sudden, I'm transported out into the middle of this great ocean. I would be fine. I could swim as long as I was near the shore. But this trial was so immense that I felt that I had been pushed out into the midst of this ocean. This place where I was just, I couldn't see. I couldn't even see the shoreline. It was like this tidal wave came in and just carried me out. A place of total hopelessness. This is what I discovered while I was out there, in that place of total helplessness. That God was with me. God was with me in the middle of that ocean, this vast ocean that was overwhelming me, and I saw no way out. By his Spirit, he introduced worship and praise into my life and the reading of the word. And it's so interesting how he orchestrated all of this to come to pass. I can't even say, well, because of what I did, God was really doing this because I was helpless. But I was given a VHS during the time when before DVDs, a VHS of a worship service with Ron Canole and this choir and this praise team, and I would listen to it every day, and that's how I learned to worship, by learning those songs and worshiping with this tape. And I was reading my Bible. I was really reading my Bible now, because what I would do was sit by my husband's bedside because he couldn't speak. He was paralyzed from the neck down. And I would read the scriptures to him. Most of the time when he was lying there, because he was in this sort of semi-coma state, semi-conscious, most of the time his eyes were closed, but there were some times when I would read the scriptures where he would open his eyes and look at me, and the clarity of his focus, it would just overwhelm me because I couldn't believe it, because usually, you know, he didn't have that kind of a focus. But that's just how powerful the word of God was. But even though I was going through this, going through the worship and the praise, and I'd have these great moments of revelation, and I shared also that I was having dreams and visions. In fact, that's how I got the scripture in James, was through a dream. But fear was always at the edge, threatening to take me over. But I had to let go. I had to let go. I had to let go because I couldn't hold myself together. I was trying to hold myself together, but basically it really wasn't working. I had to just let go, and the Lord just beautifully, beautifully assured me that he had me, that he had me. And during this time, I received help in major ways, because there were so many things that were needed during this time. You know, I was still raising a child, and I even had, I was caring for a niece as well. And she was like about 5 years old. And not only that, financially, because he was in the hospital for almost 9 months and he was never on a regular ward, so the medical bills were immense. But I'm telling you, all of this was taken care of. I didn't even pray for it, but God took care of all of that. I did not have to pay $1. He was in a private hospital in my place of helplessness. And sometimes when I think I'm in a situation where I'm feeling a little overwhelmed, but it's nothing in comparison to that situation, that I remember that he held me in his hand. It was also a time where I learned, because I was believing God for my husband being healed, and I was standing on scriptures and praying, and, you know, and while I was at the hospital, I would pray for other patients that were there, and I would come back some days, and they would be gone, and I'd ask the nurse, and she said, oh, they got better, and they've gone home, they've been released, and I'm thinking, like, okay, I'm praying for these people, they're getting healed, they're going home, but my husband's still laying up here, but I had that final revelation when the Lord spoke to me and said that the only reason your husband is remaining here on this side is for you, because you're holding on to him. And so when I released him, he was able to move on peacefully and make that transition. What I'm saying here is that being helpless, it's not a terrible thing. Not if you're saved. If you're helpless and you're in the world, you may, it may not be so great for you. I'll just say that. But if you know the Lord and you're in that place of helplessness, that is when his power in your life is made perfect. When you can no longer do anything to change your circumstances, he comes in all of his power and all of his glory. And he shows himself. He reveals himself to you. He's the good father. He's the loving father, full of loving kindness and mercy. And he's near. He's always near. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to stop here. I have one more segment. I believe there's one more segment to this message, and I'll come back next week with it. But I want to stop here and just pray for those who are listening to this broadcast live or listening to the podcast later. It really doesn't matter when, because whenever you listen, it's the appointed time. Father, I thank you right now that you are showing yourself faithful to this listener, that right now by your spirit, their heart is being strengthened in their inner man, that you are encouraging them, giving them, infusing them with courage that comes from you. You're moving them from a place of self-confident to God confident. I thank you, Lord God, that your word has gone forth and that it is accomplishing the very purposes for which it has been sent. I thank you for great breakthroughs, Lord God. I thank you for great healings, Father God. Great healing. In the name of Jesus. And now, Lord, for those who may not know you, God, but they're listening to this message for some reason, you've drawn them to this message. I thank you, Father God, that their eyes are open, that they see you for who you are, this loving Father that sent his Son not to judge, not to condemn, but to save. I thank you that they receive the forgiveness of sin, for they have been forgiven. But I thank you that they receive it right now, that they ask your dear Son, Jesus Christ, to come into their hearts, to fill their lives, to take control. And I thank you, Lord God, that that they will be patient with themselves as you continue to reveal yourself to them through your word, through their fellowship with other believers. I thank you for accelerated growth in this season. These are dark times. So I thank you for accelerated growth, Lord God. Give them visions and dreams, Lord God. And I praise you for that. I thank you. I glorify your name. And it's in Christ Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and